Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Nirama. So we will now go. You all have received this list of requests now. I have written a very nice shloka from Rupa Goswami in the beginning. Pradya Shamme Tvam Kuru Gorvadan Purnam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, this prayer by Rupa Goswami, this is the last line which repeats in each verse, is one of the best prayers to Govardhan. So I wrote it down for your own prayer sessions. O Govardhan, please fulfill my desires. Huh? Then you can mention your confidential spiritual desire. So we will now go to the first verse, which sets the scene of the rest of the verse. Tishtan vrindata vikunye vigyatim vidadatyaso vrindata vishayopada patmeshu kripano janaha. Please. Tishtan vrindata vikunye vigyatim vidadatyaso vrindata vishayopada padmeshu kripano jana tishtan vrindata vikunye vigyaptim vidadatyaso vrindata vishayopada padmeshu kripano jana tishtan vrindata vikunye vigyaptim vidadatyaso vrindata vishayopada padmeshu kripano janaha. This is actually the good melody. First we start on the low key and then we go higher. A very poor person living in Vrindavan's forests presents the following appeal at the lotus feet of Vrindavan's king and queen. It's an appeal. In Sanskrit, avigyaptim. Avigyaptim is defined by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a bolt which unlocks the door of liberation. Imagine you have a door. And inside a bolt, as long as the bolt is inside, you can shake the door but not break free. Only when it is from outside, from a free person, taken out that bolt, you can go out of the room. Imagine the room is here, the door is here, and the freedom is there, the free space. And there is the door is locked, and you need to unlock the bolt from outside to get out. This morning we had this. Gaurahari was washing in the bathroom, and I somehow automatically always lock the bathroom from outside, and then I went to sleep. I did it also like this, and Gaurahari had finished his washing and tried to get out of the bathroom. And I am known, when I really sleep, I sleep like a stone. There's even an atomic explosion couldn't wake me. So I was not hearing him, and he was trying to get out, but the bolt was there from the outside, and he couldn't get free of it. Then by a series of events, which I will not reveal here, I was awakened from my kumbhakarna-like snake asleep, got up and freed the poor boy from the bathroom. So we all live in this room, our own conditioned personality. But by a vigyapti, a sincere appeal to Radha and Krishna, the divine couple can come and just take the bolt out, and the door will open for our spiritual freedom. Let us go now into the scene a little bit. In Vrindavan's forest, Rupa Goswami is staying. For a moment, please look around here and look in the direction of Giriraj, which is very ancient, and you can get a little of the feeling how it must be for Rupa Goswami. There were many more ancient trees at his time. He's just there alone in the forest. It was not densely populated. Let us visualize a little bit the forest of Vrindavan in Rupa Goswami's time. You can just be a little alert, look around, or if you like to meditate, you could close your eyes. How wonderfully does the forest of Vrindavan serve the divine couple? It makes a very soothing atmosphere. The wind carries the cool drops of water from the Yamuna River to cool Radha and Krishna's bodies. And how wonderful is the beauty on the banks of the river Yamuna. There are jeweled bathing ghats. The directions are filled with the mind-enchanting scents of the flowers that grow on the trees and vines. And how wonderful is the forest itself! There are different kinds of birds chirping that we hear even now. Everywhere the drone of buzzing bumblebees. The branches of the trees in Vrindavan bow down with their offerings of fruits and flowers, which they bring to the feet of the divine couple. These trees are like hosts which welcome Lord Krishna when he comes there. They smile with their blossoming flowers, and the trees sing by ordering the swarms of bees which are around them to sing. The trees also dance when Krishna comes with their fluttering leaves. And they offer Krishna a welcome drink by their dripping honey. And they offer the Lord a meal of fresh fruits. The creepers in their soft leafy dresses dance for the pleasure of Krishna back and forth, while the singing bees minister repeatedly kiss the smiling flower faces of those trees. The bees are often mentioned, the bees of the Vrindavan forest. See, when Lord Krishna enters the forest, he wants to play his flute, but he's bewildered by love. And then the best of bees give him a tone. And he tunes his flute and his raga according to that. The trees look like aristocratic persons with their hair standing up in ecstasies. Honey oozes from their flowers, which are in reality the tears of love the trees shed. In this wonderful forest of Vrindavan, the Sakis are serving the divine couple with the sweet sound of music, and they shower fragrant flowers on Radha and Krishna. Some of the Sakis sprinkle water, which is scented with agura and musk. There's Vishaka, who stands on Radha Madhava's right side, and with a soft, damped cloth, dries the sweat pearls that appear on the limbs of the divine couple out of the ecstasy of seeing each other. And Vishaka also fans the divine couple. My dear devotees, when the divine couple walks, the tinkling of the jeweled ankle bells fills the directions with a sweet sound, as do the waist bells which they carry. The bank of the Yamuna is illuminated by a bluish and golden luster. The bluish luster comes from Lord Krishna, and the golden luster comes from Radharani. They mix in an emerald green color and make everything green. Amongst all the birds, the cuckoo sings in the fifth note, and there are many nice animals which come running to greet the divine couple. In the midst of these wonderful forests in Vrindavan, there are thrones where Radha and Krishna sit. So, Rupa Goswami knows all this. He has written about it. He knows that the divine forest of Vrindavan is so absolutely filled with rasa, with sweetness, with sounds, with scents, with the vision of the divine couple. But he doesn't perceive it. And this brings him to his first verse. It's the understanding that I'm living in the land of spiritual miracles. I'm living in the land where the divine pastimes are going on. But I am so unfortunate that I'm simply not perceiving it. Rupa Goswami wrote another very good prayer. It's more or less repeats exactly what is in the Kapanya Panjika Stotra, but in a more elaborate way. Now, maybe what we should do is, who is Hindi speaking? Vitalji, can you just talk very, very politely? There are thousands of times more advanced. What? It's over. It's over. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because they are... No, it's never over. The noise is never over in India. You just tell the Matajis that all of us pay our most dandavat thing, but we are sure they can speak very softly. We are absolutely sure it's possible. Just encourage them in the most polite terms you can find. They are thousands of times more advanced than we are. They are very cooperative. Vital, you can say to them, a movie is made. Here's the movie camera, you know. And they all respect photography somehow in India. Yes. Yeah, that is, movie is made, yes. So, a serious project, yes. In Utkala Valari, he picks up the same subjects which he takes in Kapanya Panjika and writes it a little bit more longer. But I have chosen the Kapanya Panjika because it will be more practical for you to learn this prayer. And when you learn the moods and the ideas, you will be able to dive into Utkalika Valarya. There he says in the first verse, I have taken shelter in the middle of Vrindavan forest, and I cry anxiously. This disturbed soul shall now reveal the deep mark burning tears have made in his heart. This is how he starts his prayer. My dear devotees, it's very important for me to alert you to the fact that a prayer must be prayed in a mood of eagerness. Our problem is the problem of the cold heart or the diverted heart. We are just not there in Krishna consciousness. We are just not there in Vrindavan. Like Burijan Prabhu said yesterday so nicely, we have this modern transport things, and before we know, after 8 hours of travel or 10 hours of travel, we are in Vrindavan, but our mind is not there. Therefore, sometimes the gradual, pilgrimage where you take a month is better, because you put, oh, when will I reach? When will I reach? When will I reach? It's said in olden times, people who would die on pilgrimage to a sacred place would get the same benefit as the people who reach. Do you know why? Because on that pilgrimage, they would every day think, when will I reach? Vrindavan, 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 ooh, Vrindavan, and die. They would go. But we don't, we are just here, and we are not here. This is our specialty, especially our Western specialty, that we just don't reach the spiritual dimension. And therefore, yeah, our heart remains the same as it always is. Huh? Better to die than go in this modern way. Hare Krishna. This is an expression of eagerness which is unfortunately not with me. Prabhupada says in one of the lectures, this Krishna Bhakti Rasa, this taste of Krishna Bhakti, where is it available? It is a very nice thing. Then he answers, yes, it is available. You can purchase. The movement for Krishna consciousness is going on. Then Prabhupada takes the voice of the inquiry. What is the price, if I may ask, for this taste of Krishna Bhakti? Price? You ask the price? It is such a nice thing. You have to pay price. Again, the inquirer. Yes, there's price, but what is it? The Prabhupada answers, Tajaloliam ekalamulyam. Simply your eagerness. That is the price. This price you have to pay. Then you get Krishna. Immediately you get Krishna. Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, the Krishna devotee, he's also not poor. He can distribute Krishna to you for free. He's doing that. Simply you have to purchase by your eagerness. That is wanted. Tatra lolyam. Oh! You know, once my god brother asked Prabhupada, what is necessary to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada answered in one word, desire. Another time, Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, what is necessary to become Krishna consciousness? He answered, eagerness. At another time, Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, what is necessary to become Krishna conscious? And he answered, anxiety. All this are three levels of the same thing. Desire, when it becomes more tuned up, becomes eagerness. And when eagerness becomes more tuned up, it becomes anxiety. You need it. You want it. It's your utmost need. When you have eagerness, then and only then you can pray properly. I always think this eagerness is like the wings which carry your words to the ears of the divine couple. Without these wings of eagerness, your words are words of lead. These lead words, Blei in German, will remain on the mental platform, on the material platform. You will not fly. These words will not bring you anywhere in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, I really request you in this prayer. Where is it now? Here it is. The setting the scene is very important, because the scene is this, that a very poor man living in Vrindavan's forest presents the following appeal at the lotus feet of Vrindavan's king and queen. In Berlin, you will find a museum. Do you know Berlin? Have you heard about Berlin? It's a little village in Germany. No? It's a big town, the capital town. And it was once in two halves, and there was a wall between it. On one side was West Berlin, which belonged to West Germany, which the very rich Germany, and the other half of the town was East Berlin, which belonged to East Germany, which was under communistic dictatorship, was very poor, and many Germans who were in East Germany wanted to come to West Germany, but they could unfortunately not cross the wall. It was a wall, and before the wall were tread mines and people who were trained in shooting, snipers, and it was very, very difficult to cross this border. But I heard about one person who somehow had a pigeon. You can go in this museum. He was in East Germany, and he somehow sent a pigeon with a message to his relatives in West Germany. And then, by the help of the pigeon, I forgot, some message was sent, how to escape and how they would wait for him and how they would give whiskey to the sniper shooter, who then would be drunken, and how to cross. And it was something. He had a pigeon. So in this world, we have this prayer, this Kapanya Panjika, which is like a messenger to Krishna. But only if you give this prayer the wings of your eagerness, just like a pigeon cannot fly without wings, this prayer will not fly and will not reach the ears of the divine couple. If it has not the wings of your eagerness, it will remain a lead pigeon. It will be a lead prayer. Lead means Blei, heavy metal. Huh? It will not rise from the ground of your conditioning and reach. Therefore, when you do this prayer, it's important that you go into this first verse, which is setting the scene. The scene of eagerness, where the person, Rupa Goswami, cries tears of eagerness for him. Then you come in the second section of the prayer, which is verses 2 to verse 10, prayers which are full of glorious praises of the divine couple. And I want to do one prayer to you. Navindi vara sandoha sondaya skandana prabham charu gora chanagarva gaurava grasi gaurabham. Navindi vara sandoha sondaya skandana prabham charu gora chanagarva gaurava grasi gaurabham. Navindi vara sandoha sondaya skandana prabham charu goro chanagarva gaurava grasi gaurabham. Navindi vira sandoha sonanam charu gora chanagava gaurava grasi gaurabham. Now Rupa Goswami in this verses 2-10 enters meditatively through the power of prayer into the divine presence. This is what he sees. O King, whose luster eclipses the splendor of newly blossomed blue lotus flowers, Krishna's bodily effulgence is like newly blossomed blue lotus flowers, but it is also very, very effulgent. O Queen, whose fair complexion devours the intense pride of yellow Gorochana. See, now Rupa Goswami does something which is praising the divine couple. There is a secret. When you praise the divine couple with the authorized words of the acharyas, then they appear on the seat of your heart. There is a very, very nice shloka in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that if you do some transcendental chanting, you penetrate into the presence of the Lord. I very much like the word penetrate. And I would like for the non-German speakers, non-English speakers, I'm sorry, to give you an example what penetrate means. Here, there is the left side, which is divided by this piece of paper from the right side. Now, if something comes and penetrates, it will go through the demarcation. Penetration takes place. Oops. Yeah, must be a little sharp. Right instrument is required. See? Now this penetrates and goes through the wall into another realm. So if you, this is very important for you to understand. If you follow this method, you first go in a mood of anxiety, in the setting the scene, and then you praise some high praises, not maybe your own words, because you may not have such high words. Then you penetrate into the presence of the Lord. Bhujan Prabhu, this I read this verse in Unveiling the Lotus Feet. It is your contribution to my spiritual life to find this verse. It's a Bhagavatam verse. I want to read the verse and then Prabhupada's purport to you about this praising as a means of penetration. Pragayata svarvijani tirta pada priyashravaha ahuta iva me shikrang dashanam yati chetasi. Narada Muni says, the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. No? So Kapanya Panjika shlokas meant like this: get into the scene, get into the mood, get into the forest of Vrindavan. We will do this on a higher level tomorrow. I've given you some meditations about the Vrindavan forest. Tomorrow we will go a little bit deeper in the meditation of the forest of Vrindavan, and then start to praise. By the way, this is the method to perform Krishna Bhakti. You cannot perform Krishna Bhakti in New York. You cannot perform Krishna Bhakti in Australia. I'm sorry, you can't even do it in Belgrade. What? This is too much. Am I hearing it properly? Yes, Prabhus, you can only enter Krishna Bhakti when you are in the Vrindavan consciousness. Krishna Bhakti must be performed from the level of Krishna level of consciousness, not a material consciousness. If you have New York consciousness, Berlin consciousness, Belgrade consciousness, you have Maya consciousness. The devotees of the Lord are on another level of consciousness. They are not absorbed with the material things which they surround themselves. They are absorbed in the spiritual reality. Therefore, it is always said in our scriptures, those who cannot stay or who do not stay physically in Vrindavan should mentally be in Vrindavan. What this means is just an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, a service attitude, and an atmosphere of awareness of Krishna, not a material consciousness. See, at the Chetodarpana Majanam, the chanting of the holy name is taking the dust from our consciousness. Why? Because only if the mirror of our consciousness is free from these constant anxieties, this constant Western black-mindedness, which is so much there in the devotees, this constant troubles, this constant conditionings, this constant material desires, this constant then only you can start to reflect spiritual things properly. So the consciousness needs to be purified. The mirror of the mind, which is full of material impressions, need to be purified, and then you can reflect Krishna consciousness, first class bhakti. Otherwise, you live in a hallucination of spiritual life, in something which is wishful thinking. This Chetodarpana Majanam verse, the first verse of the Shikshastak, which is a padati, a process of entering Krishna consciousness, tells us we must clarify the mirror of our mind, and then something will happen. Now the material energy works on our mind, but when our mind is clearer, then yoga maya will work on our mind. The first understanding you will get when yoga maya, the spiritual energy, reflects on the mirror of your mind is, you will understand, I'm a soul. I'm not this body. I'm eternal. Then later, some first-class pictures come of Radha and Krishna. They are my Lord and Masters. At that stage, you can still not maybe enjoy or relish rasa, that is an exchange of the soul and God. You are like a customer who enters a sweet shop where the sweets are covered with glass. Still theoretic, you may have seen something. Have you ever visited an Indian sweet shop? Do you see some sweets? But the glass is in between. In Serbia, we have Albanski sweet shops. Same principle. They display the sweets so that you can become lusty for them. But they are behind glass. You have to buy them. Then they will come from behind the glass into your relish. So in the very beginning, our yoga maya will put some good impressions in your mind. You will remember when you are a little bit more purified while chanting, you will remember, I am a soul. Some good picture of Radha and Krishna might come in your mind, as some of our japa participants have reported. They said they chanted and all of a sudden they saw some good Radha and Krishna memory in their mind. This is how it starts. The yoga maya, at the moment Mahamaya just puts her dusty informations on us. But later when we are ready to purify our mind properly, then some yoga maya comes into our mind. And then at a certain stage, the glass will break and you will be able to relish an exchange with Radha and Krishna, a sweet exchange, and that is called rasa, some tasting of your relationship and so on. So, yes, here now Rupa Goswami says, starts with praising, and this praise brings him, he penetrates into the presence of the Lord by this praise. Because when you praise properly, some picture comes in your heart. Not the pure, but the heart must first be purified with eagerness. My dear Prabhus, I have prayed so many prayers. If I'm not eager for them, it's just words. The moment you are eager, it develops color, it develops you develop a relationship, you feel the closeness. So therefore the first meditation, setting the scene, is a meditation of eagerness, and tomorrow we will do an exercise in this. First class eagerness will come when you hear one verse which I will read to you. Maybe. So let us now enter into the glorification. First, it is said that Lord Krishna has a luster, a blue luster. There's a verse which talks about this luster from the Govinda Virudavali, where Rupa Goswami cries out to Krishna. He says, your smile is like the full moon, which radiates waves of rays down to us. That moon of your smile creates crashing waves in the heart of the gopis. You know, when the full moon rises, then with the rise of the full moon, the ocean gets turbulent, it has waves. So when the devotees meditate about Krishna's smile, then turbulent waves are created in the heart of the devotees. This is, by the way, a first-class meditation on Krishna. Meditate how he smiles. There is some Krishna with the moon is available for us and has a smile. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur precisely says we should meditate about the smile of Krishna. It will dry away your tears, the smile of Krishna. I remember once we were in an interreligious gathering in Cologne, it was, and a Buddhistic monk was there, and he told us to meditate about the smile of Buddha, as it was, Buddha was smiling throughout our whole being. And I did it, and I felt very blissful. And then later, I looked up in the Bhagavatam if there's something about the smile of Krishna. And yes, there is something. It's about the smile of Lord Paramatma in the heart, who smiles and dries, and the smile of the Lord dries the ocean of tears away. Isn't that a wonderful meditation? When you are mental, when life is difficult, meditate about the smile of Krishna Maya Purchandra. Everything will be all right. Very good. Very good meditation. May the full moon of your attractive face, Lord Krishna, grant us the topmost happiness. Please look at the picture, because there's such a nice full moon. And please pray a little. Say, may the full moon of your attractive face grant us the topmost happiness. Yes. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it even says, Krishna, the brilliant rays of your ruby-like toenails dispel the darkness of lamentation from the hearts of your devotees. So you can hear this verse tells us, O King, whose luster eclipses the splendor of newly blossomed blue lotus flowers. So you can meditate very nicely about the face of Lord Krishna, who's like the moon. You can meditate about his toenails, who are like moons. And by this simple meditation, my dear devotees, especially when you are awake, it will work wonders on your consciousness. Hare Krishna. Would you like to hear something about the effulgence of Srimati Radharani?
Yes.
Yes. I have something from Radha Rasa Sudanidhi. O Radha, if a multitude of full moons rose at once to flood countless universes with the nectar moonlight of pure love. Imagine many, many full moons rising at once. That flood of light might give a slight hint of the incredible radiance of your lovely face visible in the groves of Vrindavan. The first meditation about Radha and Krishna, which Rupa Goswami gives, the first description is a description of their complexion, their effulgence, which drives away the darkness from our hearts and gives happiness to us, drives away the misery and fills us with bliss. Now, would you like to know what happens when Radha and Krishna meet with their effulgences?
Yes.
You know, when you have one light and another, it gives usually a mixture of light, correct? Oh, it's so nice. Please, devotees, find pleasure in this. Hear this in a cheerful mood, huh? In the evening, Radha and Krishna meet. Do you know where they meet? In Vrindavan. In the ISKCON Mandir? Radha Govinda Mandir. Aha. Radha Govinda Mandir. Govinda Stali, it's called the Yoga Peet. Yoga means meeting, combining it there. In the morning they meet where? Guptakund. Where is that? Vrindakund. Vrindadevi. Yes, we visited. We had our japa retreat. In the noontime, where is the meeting place? Radhakund. You know everything. And in the evening in Vrindavan, it's called the Yoga Peet, which is just behind the present Radha Govinda Mandir. It's just there. So when Krishna arrives, Radharani is usually already there. And Krishna comes and looks for Radha with intense longing. But Radha has hidden herself, and she has cleverly hidden herself in a temple in Govindastali, the yoga peat, which is full of golden statues, so that it's not so easy for Krishna to find his beloved Radharani. Do you know of another hiding method in another yoga peat where Radharani hides in order to avoid being found by Krishna? In Radhakund there is a kunja, a forest grove, which is full with these golden champak flowers, which have an effulgence, and Radha is not visible at first glance. Or in the Kund itself, Radharani goes to golden lotus flowers, and Krishna looks for her, and her face is hidden behind the golden lotus flowers. But of course, Krishna finds her with his detective intelligence, because there are bees who capture the nectar scent emanating from Radharani's breath. And by the humming of the bees, who are on Krishna's side very much, after all they give him the tune, how to, in what way he should play his flute, he finds Radharani. So here is now evening time, in a temple of with golden statues, which are there for decoration. Radharani is there. And the verse says in Govinda Lilamrita, Syama could not distinguish between Shrimati's lustrous golden complexion and the shining splendor in the temple itself. So all the objects in the golden temple turned emerald green when Radha's golden aura mixed with Syama's blue effulgence. So Radharani is there. Her aura is making everything super golden. Everything is already golden, but now it becomes super golden. Krishna looking desperately for Radha. Where is she? Enters this temple. Upon Vrinda's hint, Vrinda had told him, go there, the Radha is there. But Radha is hiding, and now the combined effulgence creates something green. My dear devotees, Radha and Krishna's effulgence cannot be seen with material eyes. Just imagine if the splendor of the universal form already looks as if thousands of suns have risen simultaneously. How splendorous must be the forms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This splendor is the origin of the Brahman effulgence and all the light in this universe, in this world. You should know this. And this is how Rupa Goswami enters the meditation about Radha and Krishna and praises them. Some of you have asked in other lectures, it said that Radharani has a color like the yellow Gorochana. What is Gorochana? Gorochana is a certain pigment which develops on a cow hoof when rain comes on this cow hoof during a certain stellar constellation when the stars are. And then somehow this very bright yellow comes out. It looks a little bit like the yellow. Prabhu, our well-dressed Prabhu, would you like to just come and use your dressing skills in Krishna's service. Please come here. This color is a little bit like Gorochan color. This is extremely favorable for remembering Radharani. You have chosen with great taste the right color for today. It's a very bright yellowish color, as you can see. Gorochana looks a little bit more into the dark dimension. Imagine a little, almost a scent of a shade falling into this, but it's only the scent of a shade, not the shade itself. Then this a little bit more increased. Then you have that color. Thank you, Prabhu. You have chosen the right dress for today. So this is Srimati Radharani's wonderful effulgence. Only you have to now imagine the light of, you know, if already the universal form has thousands of lights, this is and the Brahman comes from Radha and Krishna's effulgence. There will be so much light will be there, and this light is especially driving away the darkness in the heart. Especially you must meditate about the smile. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has followed the Kapanya Panjika Stotra, and he has sung a description about this verse. Tumi Krishna Nilamani Nabamega Prabhajini Prajananda Koro Bitaran Tumi Rade Nabagori Gaurachana Gabahori Vraja Koro Krishna Chandramana. O Lord Krishna, defeating the splendor of sapphires and new clouds, you delight the people of Braj. You, Lord Krishna, with the splendor of sapphire and new clouds, is delighting his devotees. O Sri Radha, your fair complexion removes the pride of yellow Gorachan, and you charm Lord Krishna's heart. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song rendition of the second verse of the Kapanya Panjika Stotra. Wonderful. If you wish to have this song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I request you to contact Bhaktin Besa, who is here. Would you be so kind to rise? This is Bhaktin Besa, and she will send you over the email the things which accompany this seminar, but you will need to give the email identification. Those who have given already their identification for the Nectar of the Japa Retreat do not need to give their address again, because you will automatically get this. But those who were not at the Japa Retreat and require these prayers from Bhaktivinoda Thakur for their personal prayer session, please write down on the list. It will be before the temple room. We will hang it down and will hang a sheet of paper, and in your best aristocratic handwriting, please write your good email address, and then you will get it. We will not give your email address to computer shopping lists or anything. Hare Krishna. So now, we will sing a little, and we will enter text 3 with a wonderful pastime, which is indicated in text 3. We will only... I'm so much in ecstasy. I need to also cool down a little bit. Prabhu, this is the best. When we are in Vrindavan, we should hear about Radha Krishna. This is necessary. Because by the influence of the Dham, these topics which otherwise might not touch our heart because it's too much covered, the heart, might cover our heart a little bit, and a little crack in the layer may be created, and then some good spiritual information gets through the crack into our heart and may ignite it a little bit more for Krishna. It's therapy to listen. Actually, maybe ask Gadadha to chant a little.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ratarani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Ratarani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Ratarani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Bulavashane vari ki jai jai jai. Bolavashan var ki jai jai jai. Bolavrindavaneshwari jaya jaya jaya. Bolavrindavaneshwari jaya jaya jaya. Ratharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Ratharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. Vrishabhanu dulan ki jai jai jai. Vrishabhanu dulan ki jai jai jai. Bolo Vrindavaneshwari jaya jaya jaya. Bolo Vrindavaneshwari jaya jaya jaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We will move on to the third verse, which still is in the section called Praises to the Divine Couple. We have heard that these authorized praises and descriptions bring us into the presence of the divine couple who are the object of this prayer. A list of requests, or the Kapanya Panjika, will be presented a little later by the author Rupa Goswami. But first, we must know who is addressed here. This principle holds true also in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. On a more advanced level of chanting, you must be aware of the personalities whose name you are chanting, to chant with what is called a sambandha, a relationship to them. It's an address, Prabhupada says, to Radha and Krishna, with an implied request. Oh, Radha and Krishna, please engage me in your service. So please take your sheet of paper and I hope I find the melody. Shatakumbhakadamba Shri Vidam Vispuratambaram Harata Kingshukas Yangshung Angshukena Virajitam Shatakumbhakadamba Shri Vidam Vispuratambaram Harata Kingshukas Yangshung Angshukena virajitam. The second melody. Shatakumbha kadamba shri vidam vispuratambaram harata kingshukas yangshung angshukena virajitam. Shatakumbha kadamba shri vidam vispuratambaram harata kingshukas yangshung angshukena virajitam. The translation reads, O King, whose splendid garments mock the beauty of golden kadamba flowers. O Queen, whose splendid garments eclipse the glory of red kingshuka flowers. What is praised here? The garments. What was praised in the first verse? The splendor of the body, the effulgence. What was the effulgence of Krishna? Newly blossomed blue lotus flowers, says Sindhu. Mm-hmm. And what was the effulgence of Srimati Radharani's body? Yes? More beautiful and intense than yellow Gorochana. Now we will find a description of the garments, a meditation of the garments, because this is we are coming into the presence of the Lord, and we note their dress now. First, their effulgence. I think it is so much I wouldn't say scientific. So, you know, when you first see someone, you say, what is his atmosphere? The effulgence. People in this world don't have really an effulgence. Sometimes they have. We say, you're a very effulgent devotee. No? But it's more when we see what kind of atmosphere emanates from this person. A frustrated atmosphere, or a frustrating atmosphere, or a bright, happy atmosphere. This was the first, and now we note the garments. You all know the kadamba flowers by now, these round-shaped kadamba flowers, which all which have a million small little things like trumpets, isn't it? Picked into the ball of the kadamba flower. Maybe with Shubal's help, we can organize for tomorrow a kadamba flower for you. Usually they're golden. When we stayed at Kanai Natashala, which is a manifestation of the Vrindavan in Bengal, we had kadamba flower garlands for our deities. Almost every day we offered them a kadamba flower. And Srimati Radharani's splendid garments eclipsed the glory of red kimshuka flowers. What is the red kimshuka flower? It is a little reddish-pinkish. And this color has a certain meaning. In the German poet Goethe wrote The Psychology of Colors. It's, as far as I know, also in Vastu. Am I correct? Is there some understanding that you paint a certain color? Could you give an example, please? What color makes what effect?
Green
color is good for learning. When you sit in a room with it's painted green, you learn better. It has such a psychological effect. When you color your room red, it's good for lusty activities. You feel on fire, if you wish to do that. Srimati Radharani's is pinkish, which is a specific type of love. It's called anuraga. It's a love which we don't find in this world. Anuraga is a love where you find the beloved person always new and fresh, as if you have met him the new for the first time. In this world, we don't know this love. Let us have the innocent example of devouring a pizza. After 10 pizzas or 10 times, you feel it's boring and even disgusting. This happens often in relationships as well. Anurag is, however, something where a limitless freshness is seen in the other person. I've written something down which I want to read to you. Srimati Radharani's upper garment especially is pinkish and is her affectionate attraction for Krishna. And the lower garment is a blackish silk sari and is her shyness. So Radharani is simultaneously attracted to Krishna and at the same time so shy that when she approaches, comes close to Krishna, she tells to her associates, please, take me away, take me back to home. I don't want to pursue this path any longer. I'm going. This is what is so lovable for Krishna amongst all the many, many qualities in Radharani, this mixture of her great, great attraction towards him, but this tremendous shyness, which in this world are almost opposites sometimes. But in Radharani's personalities, they exist. And sometimes one quality wins superiority over the other, and at another time another quality. And in this way, the meeting of the divine couple is always highly, highly, highly wonderful. So this quotation about Radharani's dress you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 166. It is taken out of a purport from Srila Prabhupada, who purports a prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami, where the whole dress of Radharani is described. And as you go through the description, you will feel her dress means something very special. Her dress is a mood which she expresses to Krishna. We have heard that everything in the divine couple means something very special. When Krishna wears, for instance, a Kadamba flower over the left ear, it signals to Radharani, we will meet in the eastern direction. If it's in the west, and in the right ear, it's another place where they meet. It's the flowery language, so to say. Here we find this description about the garments of Krishna and Radha and Krishna. And I really request you to look up in this section of Chaitanya Madhya Lila, when you go deeper into it, the practice of this prayer, to look this up. Madhya Lila 8:166. In this area, you will find the descriptions, the earrings of Radharani, what they mean, and everything. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you, for the remaining minutes of this, or remaining time, a very nice pastime about the dress of Radha and Krishna. It's a very wonderful pastime, and I request you to listen with full attention while we will request our musical compartment to make a little... Einfach eine schöne, hübsche Melodie spielen. Do you know who cooks for Krishna the breakfast? Radharani. Every morning she comes from Yavat and she goes to Nandagram, and before the gate of Nandagram she sees Krishna playing on, being there with his flute, and she becomes so restless that she tells her sakis, please take me back, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. She becomes so shy, but her sakis help and say, no problem, we are with you, nothing can happen. And they have to steady her because she is so moved, and her body is also now very moved. So after Krishna has taken his breakfast, Radharani goes where? Back to her home? That is the official version. She goes to Vrindakund. Krishna will go officially to milk the cows, but he knows by the sign language Radharani is at Vrindakund. And now Krishna will make his way from Nandagram to Vrindakund or Guptakund. That is not so far. We have seen from Vrindakund Nandagram, it's not so far. It is a manageable distance. So Radharani is at Vrindakund and looks down the road to see when her beloved Syam will come. She's full of eagerness. She's full of anticipation. She's full of anuraga. She feels, I have not met Krishna yet. I'm very unfortunate. I wish to meet him. So, now Krishna comes down the road. Something happens to Radharani. She catches the sight of Krishna, and at the sight of Krishna, she's immediately overwhelmed by a certain type of illusion and says, I'm reading to you, what am I seeing? This appears to be a cloud with a constant flood of lightning. But what a strange cloud. This cloud has a rainbow above and also below, and beautiful white birds are flying across the face of this cloud. Lalita Devi, I fear this cloud. It might bring some inauspiciousness. Please take me away from here. Lalita Devi corrects Radha, who is overwhelmed by shyness. Hey, Radhe, that is not a cloud. That is your lover, Shyama Sunda. Now Lalita begins to analyze the visual impression of Krishna. That constant flow of lightning is his pitambara, his scarf, and his dhoti. The rainbow above is his beautiful mukut, or crown, which has a peacock feather. And that rainbow below is his beautiful Vaijajanti garland. And those beautiful white birds which you have seen flying across, that is his beautiful pearl necklace dancing on his glistening chest. Just for a moment, close your eyes, please. There's Krishna. You can take help from the picture and in the tree where Krishna has climbed the tree. And he has two yellow things around him. One is his pitambara, the scarf, and the other is the dhoti. And there's a beautiful rainbow-like feather on his golden crown. And there's a wonderful Vaijajanti garland made of five colored flowers that is almost like a rainbow, which is mirrored in the opposite way in the lake of his beauty. This is mirrored. The curve goes downwards and not upwards. The rainbow, which is the peacock feather, here the curve goes upward, but in the reflected rainbow, the curve goes downward because it is reflected in the lake of his beauty. And then this beautiful white pearl necklace is hanging on his glistening siam colored chest. Hare Krishna. So the divine couple walks now together on a beautiful lotus which has appeared in the area of Vrindakund, in this place called Guptakund, the lake. They walk onto this beautiful lotus, which wonderfully appeared. There's a golden throne in the middle of this beautiful kund, in the center of the lotus. There are eight big petals around the throne. Where the eight sakis take place. And around them eight petals for the ashtamanjaris, the eight manjaris. And then this lotus expands. 16 lotus petals are around the manjari petals. Then 32, then 64, then 128, then 256, then 512, and so many megabytes of lotus petals, where all the gopis take their seat and start to sing the glories of the divine couple.
Krishna.
Thank you very much. This was the third verse in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the song of Tumi Krishna Pitambare Paraja Atashvare Brajabana Nitya Kelirata Tumi Radhe Nilambari Palashera Gabahari Krishna Keli Sahaye Sata. O Krishna, who eternally enjoys pastimes in Braja's forests, dressed in yellow garments, Krishna, you conquer gold. O Sri Radha, who eternally helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes, dressed in blue garments, you remove the Palasha flower's pride. So Radha has blue garments, but then also red garments, the blue blouse, red. It's red, huh? Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Have gone now through the first three verses of the Kapanya Panjika Stotra. We will go every day through more verses, and then when you have learned these verses or some information of these verses, then you can pray them at home and come back to Vrindavan and develop some good Krishna consciousness in your heart. Hare Krishna. Now, we will continue with our program. You will now have free time. We have added this feature to our Govardhan retreat. It's called free time. there will be an hour. I'm 10 minutes over time, actually. So it will be 1:30 when Bhujan Prabhu will continue with his seminar. It is a it's called The Ultimate Pilgrimage. I think we all have great curiosity in our hearts to make that ultimate pilgrimage. There will be, we have done it like in the Japa retreat, there will be snack prasadam, as far as I'm informed, here. For those who are hungry, they can eat. And then it is socially acceptable if you feel restful. You might rest under one tree. That is all right. Then at 1:30 you will hear a little bit before Vital, if Vital is willing to do that, to ring us. You will be the time factor. Here, and then we will continue with Bhurijan Prabhu. Of course, you can also go and spend and visit bathrooms and so on, but I highly, highly recommend that you spend this free time here in this area at the site of Giriraj. Let Giriraj's effulgence soak our hearts. Huh? Then in the afternoon, we will go back and eat our afternoon prasadam, full meal, and so on. So please spend this free time. This is a recommendation. You can do as you wish. Spend it here in this area. Chant. Avoid prajalpa during this time, if possible. And just be a little, swim in the atmosphere. Remain on the level, and then we will continue. There will be also water for washing your hands after this snack prasadam, so we will take care of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.